Blog Talk Radio.
In our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Welcome to the House of Christ Ministries presents Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com or write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. You can visit our social Christian network at www.myhocm.ning.com. For all your church supplies, including Bibles, books, audiobooks, Bible study, music, jewelry, apparel, greeting cards, and much more, visit our Christian bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com. You can also visit our online Bible Institute at www.houseofchristbibleinstitute.org, our online Bible College at www.houseofchristbiblecollege.org. You can also visit our affiliated school of ministry, House of David Ministries, Inc., at www.reversedofrevival.com. Congregation, will I praise thee? Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel, I confess my iniquity and the iniquity of my fathers, with the trespass which they have trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask your forgiveness. I pray that you will strengthen me to forgive those who have trespassed against me. Lord, as we proclaim your Son, Jesus Christ, throughout the world, I pray that signs and wonders will follow us that believe in his name. I pray, O Lord, that laborers will join us on this spiritual journey to win souls for your kingdom. Father, we ask your blessing upon this ministry and pray that the anointing will continue to flow in our lives as we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. the Lord. As we continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission, we would like to share with you our statement of faith. We believe the Bible to be the inspired and only infallible Word of God. We believe that there is one God, eternally existent in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the blessed hope, which is the rapture of the Church of God, which is in Christ at his return. We believe that the only means of being cleansed from sin is through repentance, faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and being baptized in water. We believe that regeneration by the Holy Ghost is absolutely essential for personal salvation. We believe that the redemptive power of Jesus Christ on the cross provides healing for the human body in answer to believing prayer. We believe that the baptism in the Holy Spirit, according to Acts 2 verse 4, is given to the believers who ask for it. We believe in the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit, by whose indwelling the Christian is enabled to live a holy and separated life in this present world. We believe in the Great Commission, according to Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, and Mark 16, verses 17 through 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. As we continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world, we must be prepared for his return, which will be quite different from his first visit to the earth. He will not be coming back as a sacrificial lamb of God. He will be coming back to shake up the world. It will be an extraordinary and incredible event. Although the life of Jesus Christ, as ordinarily understood, embraces the years our Lord spent on earth, as described in the four Gospels, his full career spans the ages and invites reflection on his several aspects fundamental to the various I am saving of Jesus Christ is assertion of absolute existence. John 5 verse 58 says, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Therefore it is reasonable to think of him as belonging to eternity. Scripture, in fact, affirms his preexistence and does so in terms of fellowship with the Father. John 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John 17 verse 5 says, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Glory and designation in advance as the Savior of the world. 1 Peter 1 verse 20 says, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." His more immediate relation to the realm of people and things belongs to his activity in creation. All things came into being through him, which is our Lord and Savior. For tonight will be taken from 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 12 through 21. "Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us, as they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost and sent from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for us, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Let us honor God's word. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission. Our number one goal is Jesus Christ. Our mission is souls, and our vision is the last day's book of Acts. We encourage you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at www.blogtalkradio.com/Reverend Davis. Our lesson for tonight will be the understanding of the book of Revelation, and we will be speaking about the spirit world.
All hail the power of Jesus, name and angels of great glory.
understanding in regards to some areas of the spirit world, we should first seek to understand man's relation to the spirit world. To do this satisfactorily, we must understand the makeup or composition of man. Genesis 1 verse 26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." God is one God with three parts or personalities. We are made the same way in three parts: body, soul, and spirit. This is what is meant by us being made in God's likeness or makeup. We also look like God, and this is what is meant by in his own image. Man is a spirit which has a soul that lives in a body. Through our spirit, we have access to the spirit world. Even our worship of God must be in spirit and in truth, because God is a spirit. Our communication with God is in this sphere and not in the natural, as some would like. To truly have access to God, it is through the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. To worship God in spirit and in truth is letting the Holy Spirit, who dwells in you, use you to truly give God glory, for he, in the person of the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of truth. It is important for us to realize that Adam in the book of Genesis walked in the Spirit. He had unhindered access to God. There was no veil between him and God. He knew even as he was known. Adam had open communication with God. Genesis 3 verse 8 says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." How do you hear the voice of God walking? First, we must understand that Adam could not hear clearly in the spirit because there was no sin barrier between him and God. We must also understand that discerning of spirits was not a gift at that time, but rather an attribute of mankind. It was something that was common to man. In Hebrew, the word voice is kol, pronounced kol, which can mean a call aloud, a spark or thundering voice. Adam heard the thundering voice of God drawing close to him. This is the same thing that the children of Israel heard when they had come to the mountain. Both the children of Israel and Adam responded the same way because of the sin in their hearts. They did not want to come near to God. Exodus 20 verses 18 through 19 says, "And all the people saw the thundering and the lightnings, and the noise of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. In the Hebrew text of Exodus 20, verse 18, the word thundering is the same word as the word voice in Genesis 3, verse 8, Kol. This gives us further meaning of what Adam heard walking in the garden. He heard the thundering of God walking through. What sound would you attribute to the footsteps of the living God? Adam walked both in the spirit and in the natural. When he sinned, a veil went up between the natural and spiritual realm for man. When Adam sinned, the natural man began to gain dominance. The natural man is fearful of the spirit and draws back. Genesis 3, verse 7 says, And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Verse 8 goes on to say, That they hide themselves from God. Adam and Eve, eyes were opened to the natural. They had never worn clothes, but they had no thought of lack, for they walked in the spirit. When they saw that they were naked, they really were seeing the natural side. When you are in the spirit, you don't see what you don't have, but rather the unlimited resources of the God who provides for you. When you are in the spirit, it draws you closer to God, and you don't try and remedy your situation by trying to get fig leaves to cover you or to fix anything what you thought was naked, your perceived problem. The more natural eye takes in, the less the spiritual man can dominate. This is the same problem Peter had when he was walking on the water. The more he looked at the natural, the less he believed the spiritual. When we are born again, we can now peek through the veil of the natural into the spiritual by the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit. The spirit world is almost like another dimension. Coexisting with us in this dimension, we seem to share the same space, but on different planes. One example we can use as our point of proof is hell. Where is hell? The Bible tells us that hell is in the lower parts of the earth. Ephesians 4, verse 8 through 10. How can hell be in the lower parts of the earth? When there is scientific proof that tells us that molten lava is there. It is the truth of coexisting dimensions sharing the same space. In the natural plane, it is molten lava. But on the spiritual plane, it is unquenchable fire. Both are hot. The natural man cannot exist in either, but the spirit of a man can exist in both. When a person dies, they immediately are aware of the existence of the spiritual world. At that time, they are destined for one of two places, heaven, which is paradise, or hell. Paradise used to be in the lower parts of the earth. But when Jesus Christ rose paradise also changed addresses. There are many people who think that every spiritual thing is of God. That is not the truth. There are both angels and demons in the spirit world, and we should understand the purposes of both groups. The purpose of demons is the same as their commander and chief's purpose, to steal, kill, and to destroy. They usually employ people, including Christians, to their natural work. Demons try to get you to use the works of the flesh to destroy the things of God, including yourself. Angels are ministering spirits. Hebrews 1, verse 13 through 14 says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies my footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" The Greek word for ministering is letrukikos, which means to be a public servant. The angels minister or serve the saints, which are the Christians. What we in the natural consider a miracle are normal things in the spirit realm. It is normal to be healed. It is normal not to die in the spirit. It is because we are unfamiliar with these things due to the fact that it is not common in our natural realm. The more we walk in the spirit, the more common things become. God wants you to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 16 through 17 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." To walk in the Spirit, we must understand the spiritual terrain. In the spirit world, all things that we do, which we thought was hidden, is seen by God. This is why God can show you things that are unseen, but are yet true. It is not your natural eye that God wants you to trust, but His sight must become yours. It is time for us as the body of Christ to walk in the Spirit. God has been trying to show many of you things, but we often carelessly disregard what He is saying. Many of your dreams are a rip in the veil between the natural and spiritual realm. When you walk in the Spirit, you are not caught off guard by the devil's tactics, because God reveals the hidden things to you. When you walk in the Spirit, you have the mind of God to draw from. Sometimes the enemy can do something through people, and you realize after it's done that God had revealed it to you, the device of the enemy and who he used, but you did not know what it means before it happened. This gives you the surety about something that your natural eye may not have seen. But God, who is omnipotent, had revealed it to you. Sometimes you must wait for instructions from God and what to do after that. For God tries to give the person an opportunity to repent before He brings judgment upon them. Those who desire to walk in the Spirit must know that God does not leave them without knowledge or insight in regards to what is going on around them in the spirit realm. It takes spiritual maturity to receive insight from God. That may seem contrary to what you may see and think as you know naturally. There is no drought in God's ability to give spiritual revelation, presently or in times past. The problem has been our inability to receive them, because we often walk in the flesh or in the natural alone. God wants you spiritually aware so that no snare of the enemy may take you off guard. Some ways that the Holy Spirit communicates to us through the veil are dreams, revelation through the Word of God, visions, revelatory gift, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirit. The Holy Spirit often uses things to make the Christian aware of enemy devices. Let us examine several dreams and revelations that ripped through the veil of the natural and spiritual, which revealed what was truly happening. Jacob's ladder. In Genesis 28, verse 12 to 17. Joseph's dream. Genesis 37, verses 5 through 10. The butler and the baker in prison with Joseph. Genesis 40, verses 1 through 22. Pharaoh's dream. Genesis 41, verses 1 through 7. Nebuchadnezzar's dream, Daniel 2, verse 1, Daniel 2, verses 29 through 45. Jesus Christ's earthly father Joseph dreams, Matthew 2, verses 13 through 14. Ananias told to go to a street called Straight, Acts 9, verse 10 through 18. Ananias and Sapphira thought they were lying to Peter, but they did not realize he was full of the Holy Spirit. And it was to the Holy Spirit that they died. Acts 5, verses 1 through 10. Paul warned not to return to Jerusalem. Acts 21, verses 8 through 11. And some entire book of the book of Revelation. God does speak to his people today. Often we don't properly interpret or understand a dream or word of revelation. We may not understand the time of its manifestation, but God is still trying to warn us or get us to be aware of the enemy's tactics. We must remember at all times that there are two known realms to mankind, and the root of most issues and problems in life begin in the spiritual realm and manifest in the natural realm. This is often through yield vessels that the enemy uses, including Christians. Don't let a demonic spirit use you to do things against God because of your lack of knowledge or the spiritual realm. We should not be ignorant of the devil's devices. Many things that Christians do are influenced by demonic entities that we have yielded to. In the spirit, truth always is love. But love isn't always truth. Many of us have loved without giving truth. This is not of God. Truth, because it sets people free, if they accept it, is love. Unconditional love without truth is sin, because it can keep a person in a non-repentive state due to acceptance. God is a loving God, but also a righteous judge. He judges us and our acceptance of truth, revealed and received. I am sure Peter loved Ananias and Sapphira, but the Holy Spirit exposed truth and judged their lack of repentance. There is coming a time wherein we will be judged. Some will be judged on what they did for Christ, others for rejecting Christ. This includes those who have professed Jesus Christ but did things contrary to him. Many of us will miss our heavenly blessings because we did not properly discern the spiritual realm while we lived in the natural. When the natural realm and spiritual become one, the resurrection. There are three resurrections. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22 to 24. Christ, the first fruit. Matthew 27, verses 50 through 53. Afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming in two parts. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15 through 17, and Revelations 20, verse 4. Then cometh the end. This is 1,000 years later. Revelations 20, verses 5 through 6, and Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. Our resurrected bodies shall not be bound or limited by earthly laws, for the spirit man shall be dominant. It is not a body of flesh and blood. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Blood is a source of corruption and decay, and this is why at death it is drained and the body is preserved by embalming fluid. We shall have a body of flesh and bone, according to Luke 24, verses 36 through 39. Our bodies shall be like Jesus Christ, Philippians 3, verse 21. We shall be like Jesus Christ, and our bodies will have the ability to do what his resurrected body could do. God wants Christians, while they are on earth, to confess their sins and repent. He wants us to judge ourselves. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 31 through 32, so that we are not condemned with the world. The judgment of believers in Christ will be at the bema seat. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, and 1 Corinthians 3, verses 11 through 15. This judgment will be for the works that we did, and it will take place after the rapture. The judgment for the non-believer or wicked dead will be at the white throne judgment. Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. This judgment will take place after the tribulation and the millennial reign, 1,000 year of Jesus Christ. These people will be judged on their works, and the result is that they will be cast into the lake of fire. Beloved, where will you stand and be judged? Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com, or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. You can visit our social Christian network at www.myhocm.ning.com. For all your church supplies, including Bibles, books, audiobooks, Bible study materials, music, jewelry, apparel, greeting cards, and much more, visit our Christian bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com. You can also visit our online Bible Institute at www.houseofchristbibleinstitute.org, our online Bible College at www.houseofchristbiblecollege.org. You can also visit our affiliated School of Ministry, House of David Ministries, Inc., at www.reverseofrevival.com. this spiritual journey, our lessons for tonight was the spirit world. And it's in the series, Understanding the Book of Revelation. I pray that it was a blessing to you. If you would like more information on tonight's lesson, you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. And if you would like copies of previous lessons, you could write to us at the House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. I would like to extend an invitation to you to join me on the road to salvation. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you had previously accepted Him and turned away from Him, beloved, God created us in His own image to have an abundant life. God gave us a will and freedom of choice. We chose to disobey God and go our own willful way. We still make this choice today. This results in separation from God. I encourage you to turn away from the sins of the world and accept Jesus Christ, or to recommit your life to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is standing at the door of your heart, knocking, listening, and waiting for you to make that decision. For those who are turned away from Him, He is waiting to be restored as the Lord and Master of your lives. I am going to ask you to renew your commitment to Jesus Christ. Will you receive Jesus Christ right now? Romans 3 verse 10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Romans 3 verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 6 verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 10 verse 9 says, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Jesus Christ said in Matthew 11 verse 28, "Come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew 16 verse 24 says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me." Beloved, salvation is a gift, and you can receive it right this very minute if you will admit you are a sinner and ask Jesus to save you. God wants to give you the best gift ever afforded anyone. Why not accept Him now? God loves you and wants you to experience peace and life abundant and eternal. Here is how you can receive Jesus Christ. First, you must admit your need. Be willing to turn from your sins. Believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and rose from the grave. Through prayer, invite Jesus Christ to come in and control your life through the Holy Spirit. Beloved, will you pray this prayer? Heavenly Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. I believe in you and that your word is true. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and that he died on the cross so that I may now have forgiveness for my sins and eternal life. I know that without you in my heart, my life is meaningless. I know that Jesus Christ can save me, and he is the only one who can save me. I believe in my heart that you, Lord God, raised him from the dead. Dear Lord, forgive me for every sin I have ever committed or done in my heart. I am sorry for my sins. Right now, I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Beloved, if you have just prayed this prayer, the Bible says in Romans 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Did you sincerely ask Jesus Christ to come into your life? Where is he right now? What has he given you? Receiving Jesus Christ, we are born in God's family. Natural work of the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer. This is called regeneration or the new birth. Beloved, this is the beginning of a wonderful new life in Jesus Christ. To help you grow spiritually, you must do the following. Read your Bible daily to know Jesus Christ better. Talk to God in prayer every day. Tell others about Jesus Christ. Worship, fellowship, and serve with other Christians in a church where Jesus Christ is preached. As Jesus Christ's representative in a needy world, demonstrate your new life by your love and concern for others. God bless you as we continue on this spiritual journey. Consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name. And again he said, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again Esaias saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. I pray that tonight's show was a blessing to you, and I encourage you to join us every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at www.blogtalkradio.com/Reverend Davis. God bless you, and good night.